Every morning as I come to work, I join a community. Actually, you might know it better as 404 Southbound. There is limited interaction and the occasional exchange, sometimes verbally and often quite creatively. Generally, we share the same purpose and the direction. While our destination, specific mode of conveyance, and personal style of goal achievement may differ greatly, most often we coexist relatively well. Hopefully, each of us accomplishes our objective without extended delay, debate, or extended discourse. As you saw the title of this address and listened to the scriptures read earlier, your sense was that there would be a different expectation upon, rather than hearing about my commuting issues or perspective. That's fair and appropriate. Allow me to provide a fuller explanation in the next few minutes of what I mean by community life and living. We are assembled here for a clear purpose and a desired outcome. As graduates, you have arrived at a measurable, significant achievement. For this, I congratulate you and commend you for your efforts. This represents a personal sojourn, but not a solo enterprise. Family, friends, faculty, support staff, and classmates all share in your accomplishment. I know you know this, but in case you forget later, I have it covered. Thank you all for what today represents. You have supported the graduates with patience, resources, childcare, empathy, prayers, and grace. You've done well, and all are encouraged to celebrate. I want us to look together at community life and the full living that is available from it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, while incarcerated during World War II in Germany for his stand against the inhumane treatment of Jews, defines community as the following, and I quote, "Not an ideal which we must realize, it is a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate," end of quote. Some of you are here today as part of a cohort of fellow students who journey together through every class as one. There are others that completed your degree, your objective, one course at a time as you tried to balance life, family, work, ministry, funding, and overall well-being. Some were able to give fully to the experience, which included residence life, academics, athletics, student government, and even campus employment as a central aspect of your experience. Still others had that internship or one class that kept you from completing your program with many of your friends who have already graduated, perhaps even last spring. Right now you may be listening to my words, looking around and saying, "Community? Who are these people sitting around me?" Whatever your experience, we are assembled here and now for this community celebration. That established, I want us to look forward to the various social, employment, and life environments you will or have already encountered. Desmond Tutu, South African social activist and retired Anglican bishop, describes community in this way, and I quote, "One of the sayings in our country is Ubuntu, the essence of being human. Ubuntu speaks particularly about the fact that you cannot exist as a human being in isolation. It speaks about our interconnectedness. You can't be human all by yourself. And when you have this quality, Ubuntu, you are known for your generosity. We, on the other hand, think of ourselves far too frequently as just individuals, separated from one another, whereas you are connected and what you do affects the whole world. When you do well, it speaks out. It is for the whole of humanity." End of quote. The Old Testament lesson provides an illustration of community as the tribe of Levites, one of the 12, served in a unique relationship within the people of Israel. Without land, property, and workable assets, their role was to serve as ministers in the tabernacle, assisting in the transporting of the tabernacle and its furnishings, and substituting for each family's firstborn in leading worship and handling of the sacraments. This within the context of entitled by God, in view of the fact that he spared Israel's firstborn at the Passover in Egypt. Without going into further detail, which may require correction from a biblical scholar seated behind me, mutual contribution and reciprocal benefit was foundational in this example. When the post-Exodus establishment of the 12 tribes, the extended families of Israel, were distributed throughout the land of Canaan, the religious rituals, traditions, and purification ideals were supported in this relationship through the Levites. Financial support came from the people's tithes and benevolence. An early example of community and reciprocal support is provided here. Can you recall a time when you experienced the graciousness of others in your community? Perhaps you are currently in or soon moving into a reliance of others to provide for you. None of us go alone or enter into the next venture all by ourselves. Allow me to illustrate with a timelier example. Group work in the academics usually challenged most of us to look at the efforts and contributions of others in an assignment as being as important as our own. That never happened in my case. I must confess, too frequently, I was convinced I was the center of the task, and no one put the energy or intellect equal to mine into the assignment. While we never worked in a group project together, you remember me now, don't you? I was that person in your group. Now, that spoke more about my attitude as it did to my fellow group members' aptitude. Without a clear recalibration of my optics, how could I expect to participate in any teamwork setting post-school or in the workplace? Certainly, that tone does not properly represent community and not what I espouse today. The account of the early church, where all had everything in common, certainly takes community life and living to a place generally unfamiliar in our time and context. What I want you to consider as you go forward from this relationship and experience, how are you different? What are your expectations as you enter graduate school, the classroom, the workplace, or the church? How has this community of learning and relationships impacted your sense of others? What do you have available to give to those in need, that are demanding, unattractive, appear to want for nothing, or want to have nothing to do with you or what you represent? You have received a rich gift in the Tyndale community. It has not been without your efforts, your time, and your sacrifices. 25 years ago, my wife and I faced a difficult situation and what was at the time an overwhelming challenge. What was one of the key actions we took? I called one of my graduate school professors to seek out, rather two of them, to seek out their counsel, their prayers, and their advice. Look behind me. Who are you able to call when life, work, and career knock you around? Now look around you. Who are you able to call when life, work, and career knock you around? That is what community life and living should offer to you and provide for you. It's not how many likes you register on Facebook or the number of followers you have on Twitter that make up community. That is not the community I desire for you, and I hope you take from Tyndale. Tyndale did not strive to be perfect for you, but the best community for you, each and every one of you. Just as each of you are different, so was and is your need for community. What I hope you receive from your time at Tyndale is an indelible imprint of community life and living. What I want to challenge you as you go forth from Tyndale is to pay it forward. Remember, Ubuntu, the essence of human being. It speaks particularly about the fact that you can't exist as a human being in isolation. It speaks about our interconnectedness. You can't be fully human all by yourself. Take with you the unwavering understanding of and the commitment to community life and living. The classroom, the office, the boardroom, the workplace you enter is your new community. Bring the good news of what you have in Christ and permit the vocational calling to be grounded in grace, acceptance, attention to the overlooked, and care for the unseen. Allow me, in conclusion, to leave you with a few Berryisms. It's not a word, I just made it up. View the actions of others, initially with the conviction the intent was for good, or at least neutral, and not for harm. Back to my illustration of 404. I need to be reminded that that person did not wake up that morning and said, "I'm looking for that old guy in the 1999 Solera to cut him off. That's not how that person woke up. And when it happens, that's how I should receive it, as circumstantial, not personal and intentional. When you are up, go down. When you are down, go up. I'm probably going to need to explain that one. Not to promote a hierarchical theme here, but when you are in a relationship of a work environment and you have those that look to you for leadership and those that you look to for leadership, when you are up, when you're encouraged, when you're excited about something, the natural temptation is to go to those that you report to. That isn't community. That's sucking up. What you need to do is to go to those that look to you, your students, your mentors, your employees, those that you supervise, and give to them a manner in which they can be built up. When you're down, when you're discouraged, when you're distracted, the temptation is to require those that rely on you to listen when you talk and spew your venom to them, but rather go to seek the one who can address it, up. Third, Berryism, when you follow the scriptural directive of approaching a coworker who has fallen or strayed directly, it is not Facebook noteworthy or appropriate to share it on Twitter, electronically, or as a prayer request. Keep it one-on-one. Next, what we are together is immeasurably better than each of us individually. Community. Next, I am not the center of everything I do or touch. Ubuntu. Next, the person reading your name as you walk across the platform today, he researched and practiced. Actually, he got it right once or twice, even if he doesn't get it right today. Think the best. And lastly, never let those things that matter most be at the mercy of things that matter least. The Apostle Paul, New Testament missionary and writer of numerous letters to the church, calls us with these words: may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as it is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory.